Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business since 1974. Make a great product. My buddy John Cooper's used them for everything from uniforms to web stores. You should try them. Take a look at what they can do for your business, for your team. Contact them at AdCraft on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But tonight, we have St. Thomas head coach Bill Reichel there. And I feel like I butcher your last name every single time.
No, you got it now.
Ha! I have it this time.
We finally have gotten a longevity in the football program for you. You got my name now.
It's only taken me 6 years, Coach.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. St. Thomas cracks into the playoffs, was so close in 2022, gets there in 2023, and you finish the season 7th overall in SP Plus with the 3rd-ranked offense, the 23rd-ranked defense. It's a good year for the Bobcats. Let's take a look at the year that was last year. You start out with obviously I hate to call anyone a warm-up game, but Fort Lauderdale. You start up with some folks close to you that are NCCAA folks. And then you have a couple of big-time away games at Stetson, at Carroll. I mean, how disappointed can you really be, even in the moment, on a 1-point loss to Stetson in DeLand and a 3-point loss to Carroll in Helena?
Pretty disappointed, I guess. And obviously, if you're in this and as hard as our guys work and our coaches work, that you intend and expect to win every football game. I think we've gotten to that point of those are realistic expectations. And those are games that I think we feel that we beat ourselves. And not to get anything against those two teams, that they're solid football programs, good opponents, everything else. It's just early in the year. This was our first year of really having some changes, even though we had a ton of guys back and COVID year guys and everything else. It was every year you have a brand new football team, but this was the most brand new football team that we've ever had, and guys playing that maybe didn't have as much experience and feeling it out. So I think we left some things on the table there and made some mistakes that we should have took back. But at the end of the day, I don't know if we would have maybe had the season we had either without going through some of those lumps and learning from that and figuring out what we needed to do.
17-point fourth quarter for Carroll. That gives them the win, and you take an FCS Pioneer team to overtime. And from what it looks like, you missed the extra point there in overtime. Absolutely, those lumps are a part of the journey. You turn around from Carroll, you get a bye week, and then you deliver a absolutely convincing win in Fort Worth, Texas, to Texas Wesleyan. It feels like, you know, we talked about this last year when y'all were just out of the playoffs. It felt like y'all's schedule was set up to where if we do reasonably well, we're going to get nearly guarantee ourselves a playoff spot.
Yeah, and that was the hope. There's twofold to that, that obviously we were disappointed a couple years ago and felt like maybe we should have been in, and we wanted to try to make sure we had the schedule and the resume in order to do that. So we tried to schedule as best as we could and flew halfway around the country to do so. So it was an experience for our guys that you can't get anywhere else. So I'm grateful for that and our administration that we can do some of those things. But also, regardless, I think if you're competing for a national championship on a regular basis and you're a perennial playoff team, you have to play great competition in order to prepare your guys for when those games come and you do make the playoffs, and you have to establish that program that's going to do that. That if you continue to play teams that are just trying to rebuild or get their programs off their feet, it's not going to put you in a situation to compete for championships and do the things that we expect to do here in South Florida.
We get to the middle of your schedule, and you know, they're the big matchup, obviously, is going over to West Palm Beach and playing Kaiser. You know that if you can beat Kaiser, you have the inside line to winning the Sun Conference outright. Unfortunately, that's not what happens there. You drop a game there, a 21-14 loss. Was there sort of a, at that point, you've got three losses, two to NAIA opponents. Was there a little bit of a, oh no, not again factor there?
No, and the beauty about football is you got to take it one week at a time, and it doesn't matter if you're undefeated or if you're 0-1, whatever your record is at that point. So obviously it was frustrating. I think we've played some decent games against those guys, and coulda, woulda, shoulda. It is what it is. So my message to those guys after that game was, you win the rest of these games, I'm pretty confident that our resume will speak for itself, and we'll have the opportunities that we need to continue to play. And they did just that. We rattled off some wins and got our foot in the door, and again, had a good enough resume, I think, of some of the losses we've had and some of the wins that we had to put us in a position to play at the national level.
And you really did hit your stride, especially offensively down the back stretch, with three out of your last five games being wins of 60 points or more, including a game against my poor Nighthawks in which you won 84-0. You know, I might be the play-by-play guy for the Nighthawks, but I'm going to tell you, there is a small part of me that really at some point wants to see a 100-point game. And if it happens to be against my team, I'm going to suck it up and go, I just watched history. I'm not saying you should have put up 100. I'm just saying that I'd love to see it at some point.
And that, you're opposite of me. I'm a football coach. I know what it's like to be on the other end of some of those beatings. And we try to control the game as much as we can. And Thomas, I've been there. 5 years ago, I've been in their position, right? And our team has, and I know what it's like. And they got a great group there. If they just stay the course, they're going to be fine and do some great things and continue to help our conference to bolster. But to me, it's just bad karma, right? You won the football game. I love scoring points just as much as anybody in the country, and I'm a offensive guy at heart from the way I've grown up and coached and the positions I've worked with and coordinated and everything else. But at some point, it's not about that. That we try to do what we can to control those scores, and this year we were fortunate enough to be in that position. I hope in 2024 we're not on the opposite end of it, and we're defending some of those things. So you get into some shootouts sometimes, and you get into some of those games that get a little lopsided in a hurry, and it's just trying to get your other guys in to develop them and manage the game as best you can to respect your opponent. But it's also, at the end of the day, it's their job to stop you. So that's part of it as well.
And so going into the playoffs, this newly expanded 20-team playoffs, St. Thomas is once again squarely right on the bubble in a pool of about two or three that it could go either way for. You get in, deservedly so, looking at the resume and the quality of opponent and how close those games were. I'm glad that you know, the selection committee looked at it that way. I think that was the best way to have broken that down. But you go and you host a playoff game and you take care of business against Reinhardt. What was that like, getting to actually host a game in the playoffs. Not only is it your first game hosting, it's your first game in the playoffs, period.
No, it's and probably the I've coached football now. It's longer than it really seems. But I was really fortunate as a college football player to play on some great teams and win national championships and make the playoffs. And sometimes you take that for granted when it's that some of the few times when it's been brand new, fresh of the programs I've been associated with, it's just it's a different animal. And it's like a bolt of lightning that for me personally, to see the kids of the questions they have when you make it every year and you know what's going on and it becomes, and I don't want to say it ever becomes stale, but it's commonplace. You kind of just move on. It's next week. Let's keep winning and figure out how to win a championship. Well, now you got all kinds of questions of how does this work? How does that work? What do we do now? All of a sudden we get into round two and we got Thanksgiving to deal with and things that I have been through as a player and been fortunate enough to be involved with as a coach. So I've had those experiences and they're still special, but not like when it's green for you and you've never done it before. And for our guys to achieve that obviously our first goal is to win a Sun Conference championship, but to reach the playoffs is, which obviously is one of our ultimate goals too, to continue to play, for them to kind of get to that point in year five and make their mark. And for our coaches that have really never been a part of those type of championship teams and playoff teams to get them to play beyond further than they ever have in high school or college or coached. It's exciting times. It's great for the university. I mean, those couple weeks, St. Thomas in general, I mean, we're hosting an opening round playoff game. We're hosting an opening round for volleyball. We're hosting an opening round for men's soccer. Our women's soccer team's on the road for the second round of the playoffs. So it was a great fall, a great end of the fall. And it was just kind of try to keep your feet on the ground and your head on a swivel to make sure that we got everything covered.
Poor Merch there trying to figure out how to staff 17 home playoff games. I bet she was pulling her hair out.
Yeah, everybody was, but that's the fun part about it. And that's when you work at small private institutions like this, it's fun for everybody because we need everybody. Like when you get into that moment where you got to jump from soccer on Friday night to football on Saturday afternoon to volleyball later in the afternoon, it's all hands on deck and everybody's excited to be winning, but everybody's excited for the university and the faculty and staff and administration for the students, that it's just it's a fun time. And that's what college athletics is all about, to provide that atmosphere and to add to that experience to everybody's education.
Definitely. And that's one of the things I love about the NAI is you get that in almost its most raw, purest form. In small college, but looking at your team and looking ahead to 2024, man, you have some weapons continuing to come back. You strike gold with Keeley Watson. You know, obviously, it's very rare that you're going to have a guy who's going to be a redshirt freshman who's going to be able to come in and keep playing at a high level and being able to feed the ball to guys like Rontavious Farmer, Khalid Trizal, David Hayes, Saquon Jeannot-Pierre. Yeah, that's a lot of weapons, but there's only one ball to go around. You do lose Saquon this year, and you lose a few offensive linemen, two first-team all-conference and one second-team all-conference. Talk to me about how you continue to keep Keeley upright next year.
Coach Niemeyer, who's our offensive coordinator, him and our offensive line coach, he does a great job. Me and him have been together for a really long time and kind of he's grown up with me and I've grown up with him and vice versa. So confident in our coaches and how they develop our guys. Our strength coach is second to none, does a fantastic job. So we've prepared for this. I've told these guys after year one, even though everybody's pretty much coming back, every year for those first 4 years, this is team 2024. It's going to be totally different, even though some of those guys you mentioned too are fantastic players and we lost some fantastic players. It's a brand new year. And that's what makes college football great and athletics great, because you don't know what you have till you really get out there. But I'm confident in the way that we have built our program. And this isn't something that, oh my gosh, all of a sudden it's year five and we didn't realize we weren't going to have any of these guys again, that you never know what's going to happen over the course of a year. So we've built for this. I think we've recruited well. We got some great guys in the program, and we'll see who competes and develops. But I'm confident and what who our players are and what our coaches can do to make sure that we continue to meet the expectations that we have at the university.
Yeah, that was something we talked about last year around this time, was trying to figure out how to, or the true test of your program is, can you get past your OGs and still be successful? You can sell a bunch of guys on a new program and a new energy, and that'll get some really nice guys who want to come on board and be a part of something new. But the true test is, can you get the players in that second, third, fourth recruiting cycles that are going to be able to move you from growth to sustainment?
No, I totally agree. And we've been fortunate enough to have a lot of success. I mean, we've won 9 games 3 years in a row as a young program. So that's generated the spark and the what we need, I think, to attract some of those guys to continue to build. And I think we still have a lot of room to grow of what we need to do at the university across the whole university. But we're fortunate enough to have some facilities that are really nice and need to continue to bolster those facilities. And I think we've talked before, facilities never won a football game, that we're more fortunate to have a great administration and a place where guys can see that they can achieve their dreams academically and get the jobs that they want post football, but at the same time, really add to their experience with a high level of football. So, and I would take it a step further. I think where you really see where your program's at, and we're in the infancy stages of this, is, yeah, you have to recruit well and you lose some of those kind of backbone, initial pillar, flagship, whatever you want to call them. You lose some of those guys and how are you doing? But those guys too, a true test of a program, in my opinion, is, do your alumni come back, right? So, again, we're like one class into this, but our guys are still out at these games that are fortunate enough to be close enough to come to them. So that shows me that they've had a good experience. They value the education and everything else that they've gotten at St. Thomas University. So to bring those guys back, it shows you you're doing it the right way from a school standpoint and an athletic standpoint. So if you can continue to have them coming back, those other guys are going to see that, and you're doing it the right way, that you're going to attract the people you need to continue to have those expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. And in more ways than one too, because I mean, you're talking about, not only are you talking about your founders of a program, your pioneer, players, and they set the expectation, through what they've done. The successive classes are playing on their shoulders on the work that they've laid down. But, obviously, St. Thomas has been around a lot longer. You've got a lot of other sports that are more established. Your baseball club is a really good club. And at some point you are able to draw on that alumni base to be able to feed back into it. What does that look like from a football perspective to be able to say, okay, we prepared you, we sent you out. Would you mind giving a little bit to making sure that the guys that are here get the best experience possible?
Yeah, and those guys are not the CEO of the company yet, right?
Right.
You graduate from college and they go out into the workforce or whatever they're going to do, and you kind of work your way up. So I think eventually, hopefully we see that we have a great alumni support, and you see that within those baseball programs that have been along for a long time. And we're getting there. They're just getting those guys to come back and be a part of it. And they're buying the infancy stages of, they're not putting in the brand new turf field right now, that we don't got that kind of money spinning around, but they'll come back and they buy the tailgate spots. Right. They buy the things that are within their budget and their parameters right now to show their support for the university and things like that. And it starts that way, I think, in any alumni base. And you just kind of grow on it as they become more successful, and you kind of continue to cultivate those relationships and where they fit into what the university's plan is, but also what their plan is and what they're looking to do to kind of give back and take care of what they started.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, a $250,000 donor sure is nice, but you can get that by mobilizing, you know, X number of boosters. I mean, booster clubs are the bedrock of college football. So, yeah, no, absolutely. It might not be much, but every little bit helps.
Absolutely, and it's the money's the money too, but there's other ways that those guys, especially early on, can be a big impact, especially for our team, right? That they have a job in this field, and they can talk to the guys and tell them, if this is something you're interested in, this is what my day-to-day looks like. Or, okay, come and do an internship with us to get your foot in the door, and let me introduce you to some people. So that there's other ways to be a great alumnus from your university rather than just shelling out cash and doing those other things as well.
Well, Coach, I got a little sidetracked there on that, but that's okay. I love running those rabbit trails down and getting into those. Let's take a look at your defense. You do have a couple of big guys up front that you're losing in Nicholas Engler, Emilio Savage, an inside linebacker, Donnell Bennett, that's been there for forever. Ja'Cory Austin in your back half. You're losing some good ones back there, but you've got Kendall Wilson, your leading tackler from last year, and Armon Anderson in your defensive secondary that are coming back. Talk to me about getting better on defense, playing fast, playing that maybe that South Florida speed defense.
No, and you don't replace those type of guys, right? I mean, Nick Engler was an All-American Defensive Player of the Year in the conference, had a great season for us. Ja'Cory played a lot of games for us throughout his 5 years with us, has been an All-Conference player multiple times. So yeah, I don't know if you really replace those guys, but again, it's development, and I truly think as we continue to grow and what the expectations are, those guys we talked about at the beginning, set the standard. Then we talked about, okay, we had a couple of years in, let's raise the standard. Those guys did that. They fulfilled their job and were great football players for us. Now, with our development and what our expectations are, I think we can be even better. That speaks for the offensive line. I think we can be better there, even though I love those guys and they did a great job. And that's what you hope for, right? Like, once I'm done being the head coach at St. Thomas University, I hope the next guy is even better than I am. And I think if you set it up right, those things can be achievable. So we got some good guys coming back. We have some good guys that we're developing that I think will surprise and make a name for themselves, just like Nick did and Ja'Cory did and Donnell did and all those things. So I'm excited about what we have. Just like you talk about the offensive line, I mean, it was a couple years ago, we had a couple guys that were our first graduates and all those things. I thought we were a little bit light on the defensive line, and I was not nervous, but doing some extra things during camp, talking to coaches, how are we going to develop this guy, how are we going to get, all of a sudden, all four of our defensive linemen were first team all conference, right? So we're in spring ball now, and we're developing our guys and getting them going and seeing what we got and where we need to add some depth. But I'm confident that we can be better on both sides of the ball if we continue to work at it and do our job.
Absolutely, and that's something that you know, as you're going, it's to borrow a phrase, if you're continuously striving to hit that get 2% better every day mark, I think it's certainly achievable, because if you're not doing that, you're heading in the opposite direction. If you're not getting better, you're falling back, and nobody wants that. Right. So to that end, what area of your program, whether it's something on the field or whether it's something off the field, are y'all really focusing on and looking to improve upon in 2024?
When we got back from Christmas break, I told the guys, and obviously you lose that last playoff game, if you don't win the whole thing, right, you got a sour taste in your mouth no matter what, right? That you make it that far and you're making a run and all those things, and there's a lot to – everybody wants to look back, and we lost this one, and – what went wrong and what could we have done differently? And at some point too, you have to celebrate the things that you did achieve, right? That there's a lot for us to be proud of and everything else. But for us, we're in this now, right? That we've done our due diligence of building the program, and the expectations are high. So we're not talking about wholesale changes here. It's what are the little tweaks that we have to make to be better? And part of that scheme offensively and defensively, part of that's putting the players in a better position or moving people around a little bit. Part of that's guys in the weight room are just growing up and not being 18-year-old high school graduates and being 20 or 21-year-old college juniors and seniors. So that's all part of it as well. We're just focused on the little things, the things about ourselves that I think will make us better people in the long run. We're going no complaining. It doesn't matter what the official does. It doesn't matter what the coach says. It doesn't matter what that player did. It's over. What can I do differently? And what can I look back on? But we're not complaining about anything. We got to take control and control what we can control. I think we've done that for the most part, or we wouldn't be in the situation we're in, but it can be even better. Leadership, right? Is it a player-led team? And obviously you don't win 9 games 3 years in a row if you have no leadership, but can it be even better for us to make it even further? So it's those little tweaks here and there, and I don't know if it's really changes more so than being better at some of those things than we have been in the past. We've been good, but can we be great, right? We've been talking a lot about, to achieve excellence, the average has to die. We have to kill the average in our program. And whether that means how you're doing in school, how you're approaching your lifts, how you're practicing, the average will die in our program if we want to be excellent and make it even further than we did before.
Well, Coach, I'm so excited to see another year of Sun Conference football. One, I mean, you get to come to me next year.
Absolutely.
You get to come up and see my neck of the woods and get that nice South Georgia feel, a little bit of the South. So I'm looking forward to that. I was a little sad, you know, that first year calling Thomas. I didn't get St. Thomas, didn't get to see St. Thomas. I didn't get to see Kaiser. I didn't get to see Southeastern. All those teams were away. So I get them all this year.
You had the top end of the schedule last year. We'll see if it stays the same for next year, but the top end of the conference was all the road games for you guys. So, and then to come to South Florida twice for those guys technically is, and especially the one against Kaiser where they're playing like at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, is a little bit different animal. But we're excited to come up. I've already been, now that we're in spring ball, started to look at it a little bit, but starting to look at our travel and figure out how we're going to approach that trip in general and what we're going to do with it. But it's fun to get our guys out at different places. Like we took the Montana trip, and not only is it a great game, but to just, when we first started this thing, we had to go up to Kentucky for like the second game of the season or something, right?
Right.
Half our guys, because especially at that time, we were still in our infancy majority were all South Florida. We weren't even into Orlando and Tampa and Jacksonville like we are now. So I don't even know if half our guys had been out of Broward County and Fort Lauderdale, that we crossed the county line and it was like a whole new world. So it's fun to see those guys experience. And that's what college athletics is too, to have some of those experiences and see different things that you might not have ever gotten to. It's first time our guys have flown on planes sometimes, and all those different things that need to happen.
Have some of those kids that are like going, if I take one more step, it'd be the furthest away from home that I've ever been.
Absolutely. Leaves changing. We play a playoff game and they don't understand how fortunate we were to play 2 playoff games in South Florida that nobody had to go to the snow yet. And I know they're looking forward to that, but that's something you have to overcome besides the opponent when all your guys are used to 70, 80 degree weather year round, you know? So
that's something that John Cooper talks about when he was with Faulkner. They made it to the playoffs. They sent him up to USF, Indiana. He said, that, Corey, that is the coldest I've ever been.
Yep.
Them boys from the South didn't know what had hit them. We had heaters, and them heaters weren't big enough. We had these little dinky heaters.
No, I think these guys have gotten tougher because we're in no complaining right now, but this first week of spring practice, we've been in the 50s, right?
Ooh.
So I'm embarrassed to say this because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. If it was 50s in Cleveland, Ohio in February, I'd be shorts and a t-shirt. I might be out with my shirt off in the backyard, right? Now we're in South Florida. I'm standing out there at practice trying to get these guys going, and I got like 2 sweatshirts on, and it's only 54 degrees or 55 degrees, but we've had a really good first 4 days here, and they're working their tails off. And again, nobody's complained about the weather or the wind or what we got going on. Let's get our work done.
I understand that. I'm not a big fan of the 50s myself. We've had a couple days where we've almost hit 70, but we've started in the 30s, and I head out of the house at dark 30, and I go, Lord in heaven, I understand that you're going to make it 70 degrees, but could you really just turn the heat on a little bit in the mornings?
No, and for us, you got to appreciate this, even though it might be a little chilly, because the next round of football when camp starts, I mean, it's brutal. Try to keep yourself alive type of hydration, and it's 100 and some degrees with humidity and, and all that. And we play in those games and we embrace that atmosphere, but it's a different animal that you got to, especially for the big guys up front. And I'm still an offensive lineman at heart and at body, probably, unfortunately, that the coolness is a lot better than the heat. So
that heat is what you call a home field advantage.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get some more teams down here to play in it in those early games.
I hear that. Well, Coach, thanks for coming on the show tonight. Appreciate you doing it. And like I said, so looking forward to another great year of Sun Conference football, growing every year and growing in respect, hopefully all the more since Kaiser brought that trophy and that banner back last year. That's just good for the conference.
No, absolutely. I'm happy for those guys, and they deserved it. They had a hell of a run, and the expectations we have are right in line with theirs. And you got Southeastern, like I said, and truly with Thomas being a new program, but it's not a brutal, holy crap, I don't think they're ever going to be good type of situation. You know that they're doing a really good job, and the conference is fun. You got to come to play every week, or you're going to be left out. So it prepares you for what you need to do to compete at the national level, and our conference does that.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.